Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Under center is Wentz. Fakes. Looks. Still looks. He's being chased. Still rolling. Firing. Complete. Touchdown. Wide open. He has his man. Touchdown. Goes to Jason Kroom. Jason
Who?
Kroom.
Who?
If you don't know Jason Kroom. Wow.
Yeah, Merrill, we all were doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, hold on. Who? 81. Then you're going through your mind being like, who was 81?
I thought it was Josh Perkins.
I thought it was T.O.
Yeah. So that's always the first thing that comes to mind.
Hell no, we knew it wasn't him.
That could be modern day T.O., 43-year-old Terrell
so,
Owens.
So, Ike, I didn't get a chance to see a different angle to see how he was so wide open.
They forgot about him.
Clearly. I think Carson forgot about
him,
too.
He was on the team.
He caught Carson by surprise. They called him. Whoa.
Yeah. Well, Carson's looking to his left first and in the middle, and there's nothing there. And Kroom's immediately just drifts to that pylon. And it's standing there. And then he was waving. Then it was almost like he was like, okay, maybe I don't want to wave too. Like he was waving
loud.
Yeah,
the Ravens will see him. Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't want the Ravens to see him. Hey, Carson, right here. Here I am. And then luckily he saw him at the last minute.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Imagine if he didn't see him.
Yeah.
Like
oh,
the
Lord.
Breakdowns.
Right, when you see the replay, he literally saw him at the last minute.
Yeah.
But he was over there open for
the
about
whole
5 time,
yeah.
seconds.
He was over there the whole time. Yeah, thank God that Carson didn't airmail one over his head and that he caught it, too.
Right.
That's such an easy catch.
Yes.
I didn't know anything about him. He played a couple years with the Bills, like 3 years with the Bills, this Kroom guy. I had no idea. I thought he was like an undrafted rookie free agent guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, today's show brought to you by Chickies and Pete's. The best in-game experience on game days is Chickies and Pete's. Indoor and outdoor seating is available at all of their locations online, chickiesandpetes.com. Well, a lot to talk about with Doug today, including the two-point conversions, including, you know, what are they going to do? Right? Like you're like your third and fourth string on the offensive line. Doug answered all of those questions. Here it is.
Hey, Doug, just to clarify your reasoning on the two-point conversion down 11, is the logic similar to what you explained a couple years ago in going for two and you're down by eight, but just with the added need for the field goal tacked on?
Sure.
You know what I mean by that, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's the probability of giving yourself the best chance to winning the football game. In it, basically, when you're down 17-8, you know that a touchdown and a field goal wins the game. So, you take all those probabilities into account. You know, I think there was just over seven minutes to go. Third quarter, I think it was, in that situation. So, yeah, it kind of falls in line with that. And it allows us as an offense, allows me as a play caller and a decision maker to understand exactly what we need moving forward, whether we accomplish our goal and are successful on the two-point attempt or we're not. Then it gives us an opportunity to, we know exactly what it has to happen now the rest of the game.
Yep, understood. Thanks.
Hey, good morning, Doug. In the event that you do have to play without Miles for any period, can you just talk about what you have behind him? I think I asked you about this a few weeks ago, just about Boston and Corey. The production really hasn't been there. Is there a chance we might see Huntley a little more? Is Killens possibly back in the mix? How do you see that position right now?
Well, I think yeah, if you know, hopefully Miles is okay and he's available. But you know, Boston, Corey, you know, Huntley are the guys that would be, you know, in that running back by committee, so to speak. You know, would be our next move. Obviously, Killens is an opportunity as well. It would just depend on the rest of the roster, as you know, to get him up. You know, yeah, you know, we know Boston has played, we know Corey's played, you know, Huntley's the only one that's really limited from the standpoint of playing, but got confidence in all three of those guys to be able to get the job done.
Doug, you've spoken before about how the truncated offseason affected the team in some regards in relation to, you know, some of the new faces you brought in the coaching staff. I'm wondering what kind of effect that may have had on the medical staff and the changes that were made in bringing a new head trainer and a new strength sports science guy. Has that had any correlation to the struggles that you've had with injuries so far this season?
No.
Hey, Doug, what's the plan at right guard this week?
Well, you know, we got some options. Maybe as crazy as that sounds, we do have some options at guard. We got, you know, obviously Opetta can play. Herbig can move in there. We have Jamal Brown. You know, we're hopeful prior with the being on the COVID list. I believe we can get him back this week as well. So we'll have some options there moving into this week. And we got to do what's best for the football team, best for the offense. And we'll make those determinations here pretty quick.
If Pryor is cleared, is that still his job?
Yeah, you know, I'd tell you it's difficult this week because it's a short week, Zach. You understand? I mean, it's if we get him back, it's hard to get the reps to be ready to be a starter. It'd be different if we had a full week and we're playing on Sunday or Monday. It's just something that we have to look at and evaluate because some of these other guys are going to be getting the bulk of the reps today and tomorrow.
Hey, Doug, on the 2-point conversion at the end of the game, I know you said this morning that maybe you should have called the timeout, but on the execution of the play itself, is Rodgers supposed to block Judon who makes the tackle? Is there a missed assignment there?
You know, we had obviously the play call. Yeah. I, as you heard this morning, you know, obviously you guys tuned into WIP and listened to my comments. So, you know, a timeout in that situation could have been beneficial. Probably to get the play or a better play possibly in there. So that's on me. And you know, we didn't execute as an offense and that's coaches and that's players. But I'll say this, that, you know, that didn't lose us the football game. Obviously it was a big play that could have tied the football game. You know, we had opportunities throughout the course of the game to really, make a difference, you know, in this football game. So, you know, I talked to the team a lot about, you know, 3, 4, 5 plays a game, you know, could determine the outcome. And some of that's decisions on coaches too. So we all had a hand in it and we can definitely execute that play a little better.
Hey, Doug, with Miles Sanders out, could we see more use of Jalen Hurts? Do you have like a specific idea of the plays you want him to be in for, or is it kind of more open? You know, could he be in there for 20 or 30 snaps if you know, is that viable?
Well, first of all, in Miles' case, we haven't made a determination yet if he's out or not. I'm waiting on more reports this afternoon. They're all getting evaluated right now. So obviously we're hopeful there. In the case of Jalen, obviously you saw yesterday some of the what we call X plays or some of the plays that are sort of unscouted with him have been productive for us in the last 3-4 weeks. And I think it's something that we've got to continue to explore. It does give us the ability to, you know, run the football with him. So he's like another, you know, I don't want to say he's another running back, but he's a quarterback that can run the zone read, you know, plays from the quarterback position. So it's something that we're definitely going to continue to explore each week if it's conducive. It has been successful for us and I could see things, you know, continuing, you know, each week that way.
All right, that's Doug. And if you're just tuning in, you hadn't heard the injuries that he was talking about. We have heard more information according to reports that are out there. Miles Sanders is going to miss a week or two with a knee injury. Zach Ertz, a high ankle sprain. So he's out 3 to 4 weeks. Jack Driscoll, who was the starting right tackle, he went out. He's got an ankle injury, 1 to 2 weeks. And then on defense, Malik Jackson with a quad injury. So he's out for a week or two.
So I wouldn't expect any of those guys back until after the bye week.
Yep. Any of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, Ertz, you know, high ankle sprain, who knows when he can come back. Maybe it is the full 4 weeks. Maybe it's three. But, you know, it's like if you look at where they are right now, right, they have their starting quarterback. Now they're going to have their backup running back. They have their fifth, sixth, and seventh wide receiver, like wide receiver mm-hmm. five, six, seven. Mm-hmm. They have their fourth tight end. They have left tackle three, left guard two, their starting center, right guard four, and right tackle three. Mm-hmm. So that right now, that's their depth chart heading into a Thursday night game against the Giants. And I got to wonder if they can beat the Giants with that offensive line. It's going to take Carson Wentz putting on a cape again and running around and putting the team on the back like he almost did last night or yesterday.
Yep. That's what it's going to take. And you best believe Jalen Hurts will be a running back Thursday night.
Mm.
You best believe it.
They got to do something, right?
Damn right they do.
I was all against Hurts being used too much because I was worried about the quarterback controversy, but with Wentz playing very well the last couple weeks.
Yeah, this kid's not ready to throw the ball to beat Wentz out, man. Wentz is struggling back there. Jalen Hurts doesn't know his elbow from his – yeah, come
so
on.
So how many snaps could you
– These are all running plays that don't have any real reading of the defense that he has to do other than read the defensive end, keep it, or give it to the running back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's all he has to do. He's not reading a defense to throw the ball.
No. How many snaps could they play him potentially? A lot?
I would.
Like, almost all the snaps?
Dude, let's suggest it 25.
Let me tell you, dude. That's exactly what he's out there as a wide receiver or a running back or even a quarterback. Yes, I'm playing him. Yes.
Mm.
Yes. I'm not worried about a quarterback controversy. That's the furthest thing from my mind.
Well, at this point, you're not.
I was never worried about it, because this kid is not better than Carson Wentz, so I'm not worried about that stuff. They need to win football games. Mm-hmm. And, like, you're not doing Carson Wentz any favors by not giving him something to work with. Like, you send him out there with nothing to work with and then expect him to pull rabbits out of his hat. And you got people want to sit back and be critical of his play as if he's actually playing with serviceable weapons. Like, how can you be critical of the quarterback right now?
I don't know.
How can you possibly be critical of anything he does out there, good or bad, right now?
Well,
the dude is out there not with practice squad weapons, a practice squad offense. It's him and Jason Kelce.
That's it.
It's him and Jason Kelce and a bunch of backup players.
Or not even backup players.
Exactly.
They're guys that are playing that wouldn't be on a roster.
Guys that wouldn't even be on a roster somewhere.
Yep.
Guys that wouldn't even be on a roster out there, man.
Mm.
Like, that's why I don't get mad at Doug. Because this is what Doug is coaching also. And Doug's not in charge of personnel.
Yeah, it's true.
He doesn't put the team together. This is why I don't get mad at Doug. I mean, Doug has to try to figure out ways to scheme these guys open. Like I'm talking about not even Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Michigan State type talent. Of course, I got to throw my school in there. Now, I haven't even talking about that type of talent from colleges.
State?
Yeah, I'm talking about.
Well, you would take Alabama's offense right now.
You're damn right I would.
That Waddle guy?
Yes.
Well, they have two and or three first-round wide receivers.
Yes, I'd take Alabama's offense right now.
That's the new, could Alabama beat the Browns? Would you take the Eagles' offense or Alabama?
Give Carson those weapons in Alabama or Clemson, by the way.
And they're good.
And I'll take them right now, man. You kidding me with this stuff out here he's playing with?
Well, maybe the offensive line, too.
He's supposed to beat the Baltimore Ravens with that?
It's amazing they were even in the game.
They shouldn't even been in that game yesterday.
It's amazing. There was you put out a tweet at the exact same time that I was thinking it, and I believe Charles Davis in the broadcast, mm-hmm. I rewatched the game this morning, he said it. It got to a point where you're like, and Davis said, you know, the Eagles are playing the Giants on Thursday night. You got to make sure you get Carson Wentz in that game. What he was saying was maybe you should think about taking him out before he gets killed.
Yes.
Because that's what was happening.
That's exactly what I was worried about yesterday.
Me too.
Because you know Doug was going to keep throwing the ball. He wasn't going to run it. He was going to keep throwing it. And with that offensive line.
That's a great idea.
And this is what I was.
And Toth looked like some high school player that came on the field.
I mean, yeah, I saw Toth last Friday when I was watching my son play Williamstown. He was out there playing.
He was pretty good, huh?
Yeah, you know what I mean? I'm like, Doug's going to get Carson killed because he's not going to run the ball. And sure enough, he left him open because Carson, the hero he has to be out there playing, is looking to throw the ball deep. So in order to throw the ball deep, you got to stand in that pocket long enough and be willing to take a hit
to throw
the ball deep.
Yep.
And he took a couple of them, and I said, he's going to get hurt in this meaningless fourth quarter with the game out of reach. It was 30-14,
mm-hmm.
and I'm saying it's 7 minutes to go. Get him out of the game.
I never even considered that they were going to come back and have a chance to
win. Never even thought about it.
But then when they get that first touchdown and the two-point conversion, now you feel momentum, and now it's like all they need is a stop.
It did, and it changed.
And it changed like that.
He had a 40-yard run. Dude was out there.
He was unbelievable.
He was out there fighting.
He's
out there fighting.
I don't get Elliott's coming up at 4 o'clock. He had kind of a Jack. You did post game yesterday. He was somewhat critical of Carson fumble.
I guess his point is that the fumbles and turnovers are costing his team, and that he thinks that I don't think it cost him the whole game, but they're starting to cost the team. The fumble in the first quarter.
Turnovers are costly. That's not rocket science. Turnovers are costly. We know. The fact that you go to point that out is the whole issue here.
That happened in what, the second?
Yeah, that's the whole issue here. Like the fact that you go to that to point it out says you're looking for something to be critical of.
Right.
Like that's what that says. Anybody that watched that game yesterday, I don't know how you can be critical of Carson Wentz and what he's out there playing with. Like you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. Your NFL quarterback is on a professional football field with these players around him, and he's expected to beat a 4-1 Baltimore Ravens team.
It's like it.
Like, really? With the number one scoring defense in the NFL, averaging 15 points a game they give up, somehow he's expected to go out there and beat them. Come on, fellas. Like you do enough Wentz bashing, you can take a week off. I know it bothered you that you couldn't bash him last week or you didn't get to do it enough. Like, dude, take a week off and sometimes just sometimes commend the guy. And if you can't commend him.
Yes, that was a commendable game.
Yeah, if you can't commend him, just shut up and let it go for a week. You got the Giants coming in Thursday that you'll be able to talk plenty about. But ripping Wentz for that performance yesterday, come on, dude. Like, I want you guys to remain credible. At least somewhere I'm giving you credit. Like, I don't want to start looking at you like, come on, dude. Like, come on, man. Have some common sense with some of this stuff.
All right, let's take some phone calls here. Nick.
You know, we're all on the same team. But, like, sometimes I don't know if we're all on the same team.
Oh, well, by the way.
I think Elliott is a Cowboys fan.
Elliott put out a tweet about Doug that we're also going to speak about. To where I think I disagree more with him than you do, but – So that's coming up at 4 o'clock. There should be fireworks. Nick in Collegeville. Hi, Nick.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Nick.
What's up, Nick?
Hey. I was wanted to talk about I guess the LTBB, you know, Mr. Wentz. He was all right yesterday, I guess.
He was all right yesterday, honestly, you guess?
Are you busy right now, Nick?
Yeah, what do you think? How do you think he played yesterday?
I was actually helping somebody move something, but
Sounds
like
blood,
I told him if I get one, I'm stopping, so yeah.
That's fine. So how do you think he played yesterday, Carson?
He did what he had to do. Players got to make plays, like you guys say. But, I mean, I honestly, even though I'm not an Eagles fan, I'm a part of the real LTBB, Denver Broncos. Let them buck. Shout out to Denver.
All right, Nick, goodbye.
What are we doing here?
Goodbye. I don't care.
Goodbye. See ya. Let's go to Drew in Phoenixville. Drew, how are you?
Fellas.
What's up, Drew?
What's going on, Ike?
What's going
What's
on,
up,
Drew?
Brother?
All right, fellas. First off, happy belated, Ike.
Oh, thank you. Great weekend. Yeah,
let's do another birthday day, Frank.
Happy he must have been drinking that Ike juice. I'm glad we got 363 days to wait for that again.
All right. So real quick, the first thing I wanted to ask y'all is, what do you think is the number one issue with the Eagles right now? I
mean, talent.
What
do you
think? Yeah.
No, talent.
Besides the talent. I mean, besides that. Let's just
head coaching.
The injuries, would you say the injuries are up there?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the whole talent thing. Like, we don't have good players out there right now.
Right. So who was left on the offense? After yesterday's game, who was left?
Who was left?
I didn't even know these dudes that was out there. Starters. Sylvester Kroom and
Fulgham Kroom, Toth,
Boston Starters. Scott.
Yeah, Boston Scott.
Just Jason and Carson.
Yeah.
All right. So, do I need to hear anything else about Carson being injury prone from now on?
Well. You're probably going to hear it from some people, but...
Right. So exactly, that's the point I was going to get to, what you were just talking about, Ike, about some credibility here. Now I heard L.A. Shore Park and everything, and Jimmy, I love you. You were on the pregame earlier, and you both agreed that Jim Schwartz is a very good, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you said a very good defensive coordinator.
No, I think you're getting shows or something mixed up. Right. We're not interested in tooting Jim Schwartz's horn at all on the Marks and Reese show.
No. Oh, Jimmy. Is that the Jimmy he's talking
about?
Yeah,
I think he was. Yeah, yeah. I think he's talking about
he's
James
talking
Seltzer.
About the midday show.
Yes, well, Jack Fritz is our producer.
Yeah, who likes, is it?
Oh, I know Richie likes Schwartz.
Richie is a Schwartz guy?
Yeah. Of course he does.
Oh, okay. I didn't.
Right? Of course he does.
I didn't know, Jim. I didn't know that. So is Joe not a Schwartz guy?
I don't know if he has an opinion on Schwartz. I don't think he thinks Schwartz is as bad as people.
Listen, we're more or less Schwartz is a top 10, 12
yeah, right.
defensive guy.
We just want him out of here.
Yeah. I just want a new – by the way.
Your boy.
By the way, you see him yesterday?
Yeah. Ballsy?
Yes, you see him yesterday?
Yeah, no, and I saw –
and the Aaron Rodgers?
That was the best defensive performance that you've probably seen all year out of –
against a quarterback like that?
I mean, two early interceptions,
man.
Right? I mean, it was...
By the way, they pulled Aaron Rodgers out of there when it was like 7-8 minutes to go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
he's not as tough as Carson.
He's not... Oh, by the way, did you see Tom Brady go over and give
Aaron
Rodgers
a big hug? Oh, I knew that was coming
hug?
Up. Yeah.
What a phony he is. What a poor sport he is. You can't even, like, can't even wave at Nick. I get it. You lost to him in the Super Bowl. He just beat you in the regular season.
Right.
215-592-9494. I mean, talk about a game for Tampa. They had no penalties yesterday. They go from having like 10 offensive penalties and Tom freaked out on the offense to no penalties.
See? He scared the bejesus out of everybody.
That's why he does it.
Like, there's the GOAT.
That's greatness, man.
Yep, it was.
Oh, but when Embiid tries to do it.
Yeah, but that was a – shut up, Jack. That was a defensive win yesterday.
Well, when Embiid's throwing a temper tantrum at a
– poor Shake Milton.
And Shake Milton.
Shake Milton's like a deer in the headlights.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What's this guy going to do to me?
Embiid's flinging the ball at him.
Elliot's coming up at 4 o'clock. We'll tell you more about what we're going to talk to him about. Obviously, Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson. Also on the other side, Eagles fans were allowed back in the stadium yesterday.
Oh, boy.
And
ooh, boy.
Yeah, and they were back full throttle with fights and booing, and Nate Jerry was hearing it from the fans. We'll play it for you coming up next. Today's show brought to you by Chickies and Pete's. Home gating is here. Order Chickies and Pete's to go for your game watch party. Chickies and Pete's official caterer and proud partner of the Philadelphia Eagles. Back after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.